Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Want to know where the money is really going? Unlike other sources, our betting splits come straight from Circa and DraftKings Sportsbooks, giving you insight into where the sharp action is landing. Circa is known for taking big bets from professional bettors, while DraftKings provides a broader market perspective. That means you're getting the real action, not just public money, but the kind of wagers that move lines. See the percentage of bets versus percentage of handle on every game across every major sport, helping you make smarter, more informed bets. Get VSiN Summer Special right now for only $59 until August 1st at VSiN.com/subscribe. That's VSiN.com/subscribe. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Razorblade at Razorblade Sports. Bet online. Iga -180 for the French. Pinnacle dealing -140. Bookmaker, which is where I got mine, still +115 as of yesterday. He said, WTF is going on here? Bookmaker site down today for maintenance. Yes, it is overnight. They have some maintenance. But that's what I mentioned, was it last week with Zach, that all of a sudden Bookmaker's was dealing a +117, +116, +115. Everybody else still in minus monies. Now, this, of course, the reason that there's a little bit of movement is because of her consecutive losses to Ayala in Miami and then to Ostapenko here at Stuttgart. By the way, and we'll get into a little bit of this with Drew also, everyone she loses to ends up winning the tournament. So it's very interesting. Kevin Ryan, Road King KR Gill, tell the Joker last night, it's not often someone has a triple-double and they were the player that cost their team to lose. I don't know if you can ever say that, really, because, but you are right. He wasn't good at the free throw line, for one. Zubats plays great defense on him. I don't know if you can ever say Joker's the reason you lose, though. Old Guy Get Off My Lawn says, we have two Samsung TVs that randomly turn on. Our Vizio TVs do not. Talking about experience with my TV. And Drew from Boise, yes, my TV in the bedroom randomly comes on, usually within a few minutes after I turn it off, only the TV in the bedroom. Yeah, this isn't a few minutes after for me. This is just hours and hours, sometimes days. And primetime, Cowboys_Cubs1. Yo, hey man, after my mom passed in 2016, my beloved Cubs randomly turned on and won a World Series. Then America's team randomly turned on that year behind a couple of rookies, Dak and Zeke, and gave me some regular season joy. It's the same, but different. Yeah, a little bit different. The NBA was great last night, but you know what the NHL said? Here, hold my beer. Watch this. Jay Kahn here joining us to talk NHL postseason with us, co-host of The Point, the Fantasy Hockey Show on SiriusXM NHL, at Jay Kahn, 4, H-A-H-N, and the number 4. Jake, that was awesome yesterday.
Amazing. We love holding beers up here in Canada, Gil. So that's the perfect phrase for what happened last night. I did catch a little bit of the ending of the NBA game as well. And I know I'm here to talk hockey with you, Gil, which I always love to do. But you mentioned those numbers on Iga Świątek at the French Open coming up as well. I'm a huge tennis guy like yourself, so I love to hear those types of numbers. And I don't know if there's a more lopsided head-to-head involving a top player, a player of Iga's caliber against her, than her versus Ostapenko. It's one of the craziest things I've seen, where she just can't beat Ostapenko for whatever reason. But I'm looking forward to some French Open plays in about a month or so.
It's amazing. We talked about it a little briefly. I don't think there's an equivalent for it in sports. No. And I don't think I've ever seen a difference in pricing like we're seeing right now for the French Open. And by the way, here in this tournament, Madrid, if she goes to the round of 16, guess who she's playing? Ostapenko. And something's got to give, because there's the Ostapenko-Iga thing. Iga never loses early, although round of 16, there's been a couple through the years. And we'll see. Tennis is going to be fantastic here as the clay court season runs up to the French. What was the greatest last night? Ovechkin and the Caps beating the Canadiens 3-2. Ovechkin scores the first and the game winner in overtime. He had never, with everything he's done, right? Stanley Cup in 2018, three Hart trophies, obviously, famously breaking Gretzky's goal record this year. He'd never had a postseason overtime goal, and he does last night. There's that. He also assisted on the one in the middle. Caps win. Then, of course, there was the Jets get it done. They go 2-0 up in their series over the Blues with a 2-1 win. The Stars in a great game with the Avalanche, topsy-turvy. They end up winning 4-3 in overtime to even up that series. And then the Oilers, maybe the greatest of them all. Zach, the Oilers are down 4-0, then they're down 5-2. They get it to 5-3 within, you know, was it 2:04 left? Zach Hyman scores. Leaflet, by the way, assisted by McDavid. McDavid scores then with 1:28 left to tie it up, and then you think it's going to overtime, and Philip Danault scores for the Kings, and they win it 6-5. I mean, what was the best of that bunch?
Man, hard to pick one when you list it like that. I mean, that was the perfect night of playoff hockey. And that was our first full slate. It was a bit of a soft launch over the weekend, two on Saturday, three on Sunday that were all spread out. But that was your classic first round, too early, too late. And it did not disappoint. All four games decided by one goal, Gil. So that's what we like to see this time of the year. A couple overtimes, got our first taste of playoff hockey overtime. Great to see Ovechkin score that goal, especially after the season that he had as well. If I were to pick one in terms of quality of game, though, I do think it's Colorado-Dallas. I mean, I watched that whole game, just an electric pace from both teams. And that is, I can't understate how huge of a win that is for the Dallas Stars. They came in as underdogs in this series, even though they're the higher seed and the team with home ice advantage, dealing with some injuries. And we know how great the Colorado Avalanche are. So that was just a massive win for them. You go down, you drop both your home games, going back to Colorado, you're basically cooked. Like, I would never rule a team out, but the series basically would have been over at that point. So that overtime goal, just massive for Dallas. And I can't believe LA let that one get away. Ultimately, they did get away with it. And Deneau gets a bit of a flutter puck goal to win the game late, and they escape with the win. But I felt like if LA lost that game, Gil, with the history between them and Edmonton, maybe just go to handshakes. Like, that would have been an impossible loss to come back from. So good for LA to find a way to win that. But man, some concerns, the fact that they let Edmonton get back into that game.
It is interesting, because with hockey, and I'll say this for the billionth time for those who listen to this show for many years, they know this. It's, you know, in the NBA, 80% roughly of favorites manifest and they get through to the next round. Obviously, the first round in the NBA playoffs skews that tremendously. For the same percentage of favorites to get through in the NHL, because of the randomness of the sport, this is from Stats by Lopez, you'd have to play a best of 51. So anything that we describe as a must-win situation in hockey is typically overblown. But it did feel like in the Star Series that might not have been.
And we are seeing chalk reign supreme so far. It's a very small sample size. We're three nights into this thing, nine games into this thing. But we finally had our first underdog win last night. And it took overtime. It took deep into the first overtime, almost two overtimes, for Dallas to beat Colorado. And Dallas is the home team, so not like they're a heavy underdog in that series or in that game last night. So it has been chalk heavy so far, Gil. Not to say we won't see our fair share of upsets, but you know, at least, you know, trying to overreact a little bit to these first couple nights, you're thinking, okay, do we maybe have a couple sweeps or five game series in the National Hockey League? Because it does seem like the favorites so far are taking care of business in the NHL.
When you were on with us last week, you liked the Lightning in the series. Yeah. Are you taking them in game one tonight against the Panthers?
Yeah, Kings and Lightning were my two series plays when I came on with you last week. The Kings made me sweat out that game one a little bit last night, but ultimately they do get it done. And I'm going to double down on the Lightning. I'm always careful with this, right, Gil? If you make a series play, you bet the team at game one at the same price. You know, maybe you want to go half unit play, however you decide to do it. But I am going to take the Lightning. I think it's a good price on home ice. These teams have had a lot of time off. We've had to wait a long way to see this series. And I would rank this 1 out of 1 in terms of entertainment. It, also in terms of a team, I think this will be the most difficult matchup through the Eastern Conference side for either team. Whoever wins, I think it will open up the path for them. So, hey, if you like a team from this side, maybe you want to go to an Eastern Conference future, a Stanley Cup future. But I like the Lightning to set the tone here in game one. I just think they come in with better form. Maybe the time off stopped that form a little bit, but I'm going to trust the Lightning to find a way at, you know, just over a pick'em price here on home ice.
Yeah, this is one of four games tonight in the NHL. That's the only one that is a game one. The others are all game twos. As the road teams look to even up the respective series, it begins tonight. The game twos do, anyway, and the whole slate begins with a face-off. Devils and Hurricanes. Canes up 1-0 in that series. You have a creative way to bet this one.
Well, this was probably the most lopsided game visually that we've seen so far over the weekend. Just a completely dominant effort from the Carolina Hurricanes to run away with game one against the New Jersey Devils. And I think New Jersey was talked about the least of any teams coming in, missing their best player in Jack Hughes. A lot of people just writing them off to the point where I kind of forgot they were even in the playoffs. And watching game one, backed up, I think, some of those narratives. So New Jersey's going to have to make some adjustments, because Carolina just swarmed them. They wouldn't let them touch the puck, and they peppered Jacob Markstrom. And I think that's the area that I want to attack. I was on this in game one, and it flew over. Jacob Markstrom over on saves, whatever number you can grab. I grabbed 25.5 last night. I think it's moved up to 26.5 now. I'd expect it to go up even more before game time. I just think Carolina is going to continue with this game plan of peppering the goaltender, taking shots from everywhere. And I do think Markstrom's good enough to make some saves to go over that total.
Markstrom over 25 and a half, and you said up to 26 and a half you would play it?
26 and a half. I think I'd even go to 27 and a half if you can get some plus money with it, even minus 105, minus 110. That's a number I'd be comfortable playing. I think the Canes get into the 30 to 35 shot range pretty comfortably in this game.
All right, and the other two games tonight, the Leafs and the Senators, the Golden Knights and the Wild, both the Leafs and the Golden Knights trying to take 2-0 leads in their respective best of seven series. You are staying away from both of those.
I would lean the over in the Leafs-Senators game after what we saw in the first game, and I think the Wild have a sneaky chance to make it interesting against Vegas. Not enough to play the money line, Gil, but maybe a little sprinkle on the +1.5 for the Wild.
Well, let's see if the NHL can top that from last night. That is a tall task. It was awesome. Hope that it's as great tonight. Thank you, Jake. Appreciate it.
Always great chat with you, Gil. Let's hope we have another fun night tonight.
Yes, sir. Jake Hahn, everybody. Again, co-host of The Point, the fantasy hockey show on Sirius XM. Baseball, Mark Borchert, next right here on The Numbers Game.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Take your betting to the next level with FirstBet. Whether it's Santa Anita, Gulfstream Park, or the road to the Kentucky Derby and Preakness, FirstBet puts the action at your fingertips. Sign up now at FirstBet.com. That's the number one, STBet.com. And use promo code VSIN200 to score a 20% rebate on all your wagers for the first 60 days, up to $200. Don't miss out. Bet smarter today at FirstBet.com. It's Gil Alexander. We get tweets at Beating the Book. By the way, Kelly Bidlin's still on vacation. He is in Turks and Caicos. He'll be back on... I don't even think it's Monday. I think he'll be back on Tuesday of next week. Wyatt doing a bang-up job while Kelly's gone. Or as we now call him, Wyland doing a fantastic job. We get tweets of Beating the Book. Chris Patrick, Hard Rock Bet Florida, down last night from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. for maintenance. Are you kidding me? During NBA and NHL playoffs, never seen that in 30 years. Craziness, I say. Yeah, 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. during the NBA and NHL playoffs is not good. At least Bookmaker had the decency to do it on the overnight. 3JackH3131. Gil, your TV conundrum is likely your mom checking in saying, Gibby, why do you watch all these sports? Go outside, go play tennis with your friends Todd and Steve. Or it's aliens, heard they frequent Vegas. Yes, they do. Could be that as well. C. Spackler, you don't have a long jump coach? I still can't get over the image of Mark Borchert, base winner, long jumping. Joe C714, I don't believe in this stuff either, but sometimes it can't be explained. Middle of the night, wife was on the way to the hospital since her uncle was about to pass away. Phone flashlight turns on time of death before she knew he passed away. I have it on video. Man, some paranormal stuff sometimes. New Jersey, New York, GV. The segment with base winner rivals some of the more unhinged segments with Wish Never Weingarten. Quote, wait, you have a long jump coach? Versus, I'm thinking of buying a house next to Lambo and turning it into a bed and breakfast, which is something that Jason said back in the day. And Jason Stark, just follow Base Winner on X, Gil. He reposted his BetUS show every day once it wraps up. It's been very profitable for me. I'm always asking Mark to add a Saturday or Sunday episode. And of course, apparently he raps as well. Bruce Dobegan, in my TV days, my critics used to say that their TV turned off when I came on camera. Eerie. Ba-dum-bum. Thank you, Bruce, for that. Sorry about the critics. Nick Whalen, kind enough to join us. He, not only, by the way, Nick Whalen, is a RotoWire senior analyst, but of course, for our purposes, he is the co-host of Prop Points each and every weekday here that he does with Craig Erickson on the network on VEASAN, and he joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. You can follow him on Twitter at Whalen, W-H-A, the number one, E-N, replacing the L with the one. How you doing, man? How's it going?
I'm great, man. I'm great. Always good to be on the show. You know, I've been jealous from afar seeing Kelly just, you know, flexing on Twitter and Instagram. The guy's just, you know, laid up at the beach, hanging out in Turks and Caicos. But this is one of my favorite sports weeks of the year. Not only do we have round one of the NBA playoffs, but of course the NFL draft coming up. I'm actually heading out to Vegas tomorrow night, so I'll be there for draft weekend. Gonna be a lot of fun.
By the way, I said Craig Erickson, who was a former ball player. I mean, yes. Jeff Erickson, of course, for goodness sake. I almost said Michael Erickson, who was someone I used to work for. A lot of Erickson's. Pardon me, Jeff. I apologize. Yep. All right, let's get the NFL draft stuff out of the way. I'm going to talk to Drew about this here momentarily, and then we're going to do a podcast about it. But you, in a draft that is a little squirrely, a little janky, you do like a couple props.
I think squirrely and janky are the perfect adjectives for this draft. And I think it's only going to get squirrelier and jankier. We just got a report about 25 minutes ago that now both the Browns and the Giants are fielding calls to potentially move out of their picks inside the top five. So, you know, kind of felt like things were starting to solidify over the last couple of weeks. We'll see if that ends up coming to fruition. But yeah, in terms of some props that I'm keeping an eye on, you know, I'm buying in on the Saints' interest in Jackson Dart. The term hot and heavy for Jackson Dart was thrown around yesterday. I don't think the Saints are all that interested in Shedeur Sanders. They were the betting favorite to take Shedeur for weeks, and that has now shifted dramatically at the DK Sportsbook. I'm looking at Jackson Dart plus 450 to be a top 10 pick. Now, his draft pick over-under is 24.5. It's almost even both ways, so this is by no means a lock. You know, maybe this is all an elaborate smokescreen by the Saints. It's possible, of course, that they could trade back, or you know, they make a different pick at 9, they trade into the latter half of the first round. But if the Saints are that in on Jackson Dart, I don't really see them taking the chance of trading back or saying, oh, well, we'll trade back up into 24 and then we'll get him there. There's just too much risk involved if that's the guy that you want to lead your franchise going forward. So I like Jackson Dart plus 450 to be a top 10 pick, looking at the Saints taking him at number 9. And then the other one that I'm looking at is Travion Henderson, running back from Ohio State, plus 170 to go in the first round. Put that in yesterday. It's now down to plus 140 at the DK Sportsbook. Doesn't necessarily mesh with the over-under 2.5 running backs to go in round 1. The over is still plus 220 there, so maybe that's a way you could pick up some value. You have Ash Agenti. You have Amarian Hampton, who's minus 1,600 to go in round 1. But to me, Gail, you look at those teams in the 22 to 32 range, and there are plenty of potential landing spots, you know, good teams that are looking for that home run hitter piece. You know, Denver, even at 20, could be in play. You look at Minnesota at 24, Houston at 25. Those are two teams with aging running backs. They could be looking for a succession plan. Your Washington Commanders at 29, KC at 31. I'm not sure we would see a team necessarily trade back into round 1 to draft a running back, but I think there are 4 or 5 real options for Henderson in those final 12 picks.
First of all, who knows what happens in the final 12 of the first round? I think in any draft, we would say that the quarterback thing is so interesting. I know there's a lot of people who heard you say Jackson Dart plus 450 top 10 and probably scoffed at that. I just, you know, and I'm hearing a lot of, you know, Todd McShay came on and his latest podcast. He's like, look, I think it's going to be under 2.5 quarterbacks in the first round. Listen, I don't know if I'm making the same bet you are on Dart, but I get the attitude about it, or at least the thought on it, because there's so much, we have to block out so much noise in sports betting. And when it comes to a draft, I think it's particularly difficult to block out a whole bunch of noise. And whenever I hear anything that is anti-quarterback first round stuff, I'm always skeptical, because it's easy for us to pontificate about that before the actual event takes place. But Thursday night, man, you know these teams, right? A lot of them who aren't even talking right now are quarterback needy, and they're coveting one. Like Shedeur, some people have Shedeur leaving the first round. I don't know. I think a team will probably, like, at who knows, maybe somebody will, in the eight, you know, in the teens or in the 20s, will be like, he's still available, we gotta get him.
Yeah.
So I just think we have to guard against that, and so I'm with you on the general sentiment. Let's go to the NBA. Great NBA night last night. Playoffs have been we hope that's a step up from the general first game ones, or that round of game ones, where only the Clippers-Nuggets game was competitive at the end. But there were some interesting finishes, certainly Golden State and the Rockets, Pistons-Knicks. Game one was interesting. Obviously, that series knotted up. Tonight, we have 3 game twos, Bucks-Pacers, where Dame Lillard has now been sort of upgraded to the old questionable category. Pacers remain a 5.5-point favorite. Grizzlies Thunder, this one I've already bet. Thunder, 14.5-point favorites. I'm laying it again with the Thunder. And then the T-Wolves and the Lakers, with the Lakers in the proverbial. It's not a literal must-win, but it is a figurative must-win. Where are your plays tonight?
Yeah, I'll try to run through as many as I can here. You know, I got some props for each of these games. We'll start with Bucks-Pacers. That number is actually down to 4 now in favor of Indiana. So I think there is some momentum behind the scenes that perhaps we do see Damian Lillard tonight. So we got props up for Lillard. His points prop currently sitting at 19.5. So that kind of tells you the expectation. If he does play, is he going to see 36, 37 minutes? Probably not. He hasn't played in over a month at this point. So obviously that would be a plus for Milwaukee, but not necessarily something where you say, okay, we're just plugging in peak Dame Lillard. I think there is going to be a ramp up period for him. You know, in terms of a prop for this game, Andrew Nembhard over 10.5 points is right where my attention went. Minus 125 at DK, went way over this number in game one. He has been a Bucks killer over these last couple of years. Obviously had a great playoff run for the Pacers last year. He went over this number in 5 of 6 games against Milwaukee in the first round a year ago, took 13 shots in game one. I mean, this Milwaukee team, as currently constructed, has a ton of weaknesses, but perhaps the biggest among those is their lack of perimeter defense at the point of attack, specifically on guards. So I think you could kind of, you could slant your attention to limit Tyrese Haliburton. You should probably be able to do better against Siakam and Miles Turner, but you have to give something up. And I think Nembhard is the piece that will continue to be able to exploit this Bucks defense. We like the over 10.5 points there. I'm with you, by the way, on OKC. I don't think 14.5 is enough. I know the Grizzlies played a disastrous game in game one, but I think OKC could play better. SGA went 4 of 13 from the field, 1 of 7 from three. So yeah, you expect a better effort out of Memphis, but I think OKC probably feels the same way. Aaron Wiggins over 10.5 points is one that I like here. You know, he's one of those guys where if this does turn into a blowout, he still tends to play. He's kind of right on the border in terms of the guys who get pulled from the game. I would also look at SGA over 6.5 assists at minus 110. Don't love the points prop at 32.5, just given the blowout risk. And Isaiah Hartenstein over 3.5 assists is plus money tonight. And then real quick on the late game, Luka Doncic over 6.5 assists, had just 1 assist in game one. That's a problem. Don't want that to be the script if you're the Lakers. He averaged 7.5 assists over his previous 15 games. And I would take a look at Jaden McDaniels, one of the heroes for Minnesota in game one, over 5.5 boards. He's had 9, 8, and 9 rebounds in his last 3 games against the Lakers. Should continue to see a ton of minutes. They need his defense.
Nicely done, Nick. We got it in. Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much.
You bet, man. Anytime.
Nick Whalen, once again, co-host with Jeff Erickson of Prop Points. Each and every Monday through Friday. Weekdays right here at the network, 2 to 3 Eastern. 2 to 3 Eastern, 11 to noon Pacific, right here at VSiN. Coming back, Drew Dinsick, tennis, NBA, the NFL draft. It's all next on A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Edge Boost is the first ever bank account built for bettors, ensuring all gambling transactions are approved. No usage fees, no minimums. Earn cashback rewards. 100% approval for all betting deposits. Sign up today at edgeboost.bet with promo code ANG. Hit it, Wyatt.
ANG. I forgot that we were doing that. My apologies. I was staring at this beautiful belt here.
As in... A numbers game.
There we go.
Deposit $25 and Edge Boost will match the deposit. That's edgeboost.bet. You had one job, man. One job. We get tweets at Beating the Book. Always appreciate the feedback. Primetime Cowboys underscore Cubs one. Yo, I'm sorry. But Kelly Bidlin's future replacement, Weilers, he's calling you Weilers now, had the line of the week yesterday explaining wrestling's heel turn. He slipped in like when KD signed with the Warriors. Yeah, I caught that. I didn't react, but I caught that. Could have used, like when Dion signed, stole money from the commies also. Primetime is just...
I was like 6 years old for that one, so...
Primetime is just mad because the Cowboys have not been to a conference championship game since, I believe, the William Howard Taft administration.
Do you enjoy that now that the Commanders made the NFC championship game last year? Like, just watching the Cowboys pain?
Oh, it's fantastic. Fantastic.
That's why Dave Ross doesn't talk to you on the way out. He just can't take it.
D-Gen Southern Gent. Gil, your reaction to Base Winner telling the viewing audience about his long jump coach would lead me to believe that you don't have one. You are correct. He goes on to say, with all due respect, Gil, what are you even doing with your time if you're not long jumping at least 3 times a day? You're absolutely right. The only thing more ridiculous that Base Winner could have said is that he has a triple jump coach, which is even more awkward, right? Or, I don't know, that he was doing the steeplechase or something. Like, in a steeplechase coach.
I will say, every time Mark Borcher comes on air, something new.
It's always surprising.
It is. He's a walking soundbite, and I love it.
Heck, it is ridiculous. By the way, the elephant in the room, or just the belt in the room, here, for those watching us at VSiN.com, the VSiN app, wherever you might be watching us here, YouTube TV, that is a... So our buddy Andre, who works here, what is Andre's title?
Associate producer,
Mr. Andre, he went to WrestleMania 41, and he purchased this belt, this lovely Vegas Golden Knights championship belt, for lack of a better term, and he paid how much for this?
Oh, I don't want to say. Because then Andre's family is going to be like, where's my birthday money, birthday presents this year?
Okay.
And went right to.
He paid an exorbitant amount for this belt.
It was less than four figures, but above $500.
So that's right. It rhymes with fix mundred and nifty. Something like that. So I asked him, you know, he said he was walking around with this. You were at WrestleMania. You said everybody's walking around with these belts.
It was unbelievable. And some of these belts that people were walking with were as big as them. I'm like, oh. You guys got your shoulder must just be like out of place. You're carrying this for 4 hours.
So I asked Andre, I said, well, so what do you do? Are you going to walk around town with this? He's like, no, he's just going to display it in his house. But he did let on that if he goes to a Vegas Golden Knights playoff game, he will bring this and wear this.
I would do it. I would definitely do that.
Yeah.
I mean, this thing is legit. It looks so cool. I might have to steal this on the way out if Andre can chase me down. Definitely, I would have this in my home, and I would walk around with it a couple times.
I'll never understand you, millennials, or
I am a millennial,
Gen Ys, or whatever.
No. You can look. You can call me Wyland. You can't say I'm anything but a millennial.
I love you, people, though. When you listen to the show, just I don't understand the belt stuff. We want to do this now because Matt Brown is coming on to talk NFL draft with us before he does Money Moves with Stormy. We'll do our G-Bank best bets of the day right now, courtesy of the official bank of VSIN G-Bank, and we have a bevy of them today on the show. I think I'll start with mine. I'm on the Thunder. I talked about this yesterday with Carl Zach. He's on it too, I believe. Thunder minus 14.5. Put that one in early. By the way, Drew's in the challenge also, the VSIN Killer Sports NBA Handicapping Challenge. He's 0-0. I reminded him gently off air. I'm like, Drew, you got to put in your picks. He goes, oh, yeah, I know. I wasn't aware of the deadlines every day when you had to put them in. So he's playing now too. Thunder minus 14.5 for me. And this one... I played last week right after Luke Swain was on with us. I mentioned that I played it. I ran right after Vegas Refund Luke Swain, who's going to be on again, the Beating the Book NFL Draft podcast, which will be on our YouTube page live. Click on live at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Drew, Luke, and I will do the Beating the Book NFL Draft podcast. Hope you'll join us for that. But he came on last week. He's like, you know, and we talked about this with Andy Molitor yesterday. How can you exploit this draft in a draft where we know very little? How can you exploit it? Play teams, positional players. And asked for an example last week. Luke came on here. He said Saints to go defensive line / edge plus 650. MGM had a 7-1. I bet it then. I don't know if it's going to happen, but let me just tell you this. If it does, it makes my entire draft. Draft is a winner. Jake Hahn on the NHL tonight. Not only does he have the Lightning in the series, but he's got the Lightning tonight in game one. And again, he struggled with... you know, if you have a team in a series, Lightning against the Panthers, do you play them in game one, too? And the answer for him is yes, he is playing them. And then he's on a prop in the Devils game. He's playing Jacob Markstrom to have over 25.5 saves. Jacob Markstrom to have over 25.5 saves for the Devils. He said that he would play it up to 26.5 and then he even allowed 27. But 25.5 is where he got that. So Jay Conn with a couple hockey plays tonight. Mark Borchard in baseball. He's got a parlay. Wouldn't be a Mark Borchard segment without some long jumping and a parlay. He's on the Twins Diamondbacks parlay today. That pays plus 133. And then for a straight bet, he's got the Padres. Is he on the Padres or is he fading the Padres?
I thought he said he was on the Padres.
We'll have to check on that. Well, that's I don't know. Maybe I misheard that.
I'll double check.
All right. So we got it as the Padres minus 105, but I'm a little skeptical. Nick Whalen. Nick Whalen, the co-host of Prop Points with Jeff Erickson here on the network. He's got a couple NFL draft props. Travion Henderson to go first round plus 170, the standout running back from Ohio State. And Jackson Dart taking a flyer on Jackson Dart, the Ole Miss quarterback, to go top 10 plus 450. How about that? And again, I sort of get the sentiment, right? Because it's like, hey, quarterbacks, you're nothing without them. Will some team go crazy? And then in the NBA tonight, Andrew Nembhard over 10.5 points and Aaron Wiggins over 10.5 points. A couple NBA props from Whalen as well. And then Drew, the aforementioned Drew Dinsick, he's on the Bucks tonight plus 4.5. That's already ticked down to 4 on the announcement that Damian Lillard is telling reporters he's a go tonight. And he is going against the grain. He thinks the adjustment on the total in the Lakers-Timberwolves game is too dramatic, so he's going over. Lakers-T-Wolves over 210.5. I'm inclined to agree with him on that. Do we have Joe Pita checking in today?
Yes, sir.
We do. Joe Pita is back with some baseball plays. By the way, Joe Pita's record right now, in terms of the baseball plays, he's been kind enough to provide on the numbers game this year. He is 21-20 for plus 0.46 units. Oh, the Mendoza line. We got to stay above it. He's got four plays today. He is on the Tigers, the Marlins, the Mariners, and the Mets. Tigers, Marlins, Mariners, and Mets. Only the Tigers are a short favorite. Everybody else, a short dog. So thank you to Joe Pita for those plays as well. Do you have any plays, Wyatt? Nothing from you?
No? I will say on Friday, I might get you some NASCAR plays.
Oh.
They're at Talladega this week, and that's one of the chaos tracks where everybody really has a good chance to win. Where I think the last year at Daytona, which is kind of a similar track, I hit Harrison Burton, who was 80-1, which probably my best win ever, and I was dancing in the streets for that one.
There you go, Wyatt. So see, Kelly provided us golf winners, but he would not have provided us with NASCAR picks.
Kelly does a lot of. This is also a great opportunity to live bet NASCAR as well, the plate tracks, because guys they'll go to and from the lead in with less than a couple laps. So I think it's a really good opportunity to jump in and catch on somebody who's probably running 30th at the time.
You love NASCAR. You're a NASCAR wrestling guy.
Yes, I love them all, except I need to get into tennis. I will say, since working here, I know a lot more tennis names.
Okay.
I know how to spell them a little bit better.
That's a start. I appreciate that. Best bets brought to you by GBank, the official bank of VSiN. GBank upping the ante with up to a $750 bonus for new GBank Visa Signature Card customers. First new customers who spend $1,000 on eligible purchases within 90 days from account opening receive a $250 bonus. In addition, if you spend $50,000 on gaming and sports app loads within the 30 days of account opening, you'll receive another $500 bonus. That's potentially a $750 bonus. Apply now at VSiN.com/GBank. That's VSiN.com/GBank, subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions apply. Drew and I briefly talked about Madrid. ATP and WTA tours are in their 1,000s in Madrid. These are the clay court tournaments that lead up to the French Open, which is in late May. We still have to play in Rome in between now and then as well. But Madrid is a big one. And on the ladies' side, you have two co-short shots, Aryna Sabalenka and Iga Swiatek, both at plus 330. Swiatek's draw will feature, she starts with her second round match, she got a bye in the first round, against Alexandra Ayala, who is the young Filipina girl who beat her in Miami, shockingly so. She starts up, but this obviously on a different surface now, Iga's surface on clay. And then if she advances to the round of 16, which she always does, it's literally been like 50 tournaments in a row with, I think, well, there was one exception. I think there was a Wimbledon where she didn't. So there was one exception, but that's grass. But literally, she never loses early. So plus 330. I haven't bet it yet, but let's just say I'm thinking about it today. When they repost them, because they're not up right now. Ladies are playing right now in Madrid. We'll come back. Matt Brown, our own Matt Brown, right before Money Moves. Kind enough to join us to talk some NFL draft. That's next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The NFL Draft is on Thursday. VSiN knows every pick matters. Tune in for two special live shows breaking down every pick from a betting perspective. VSiN Primetime Draft Edition starting at 7 p.m. Eastern, followed by Cashing Out Draft Edition at 11 p.m. Eastern. Plus, explore our NFL Draft Hub. That's our NFL Draft Hub on the VSiN Watch app, featuring exclusive analysis, team needs, and insights. Visit VSiN.com/draft for full coverage and stream it all live on the VSiN Watch app. Check it out. A couple other administrative stuff, by the way. Again, the Beating the Book NFL Draft Pod happening at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. You can watch us live on the VSiN YouTube page on the live link. We will do that here a little later on today. Again, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. And as far as the NBA handicapping challenge that we're doing with Killer Sports, Carl Sachs' brainchild, subscribers, jump in on that. But you can actually, I believe if you go to VSiN.com/challenge, I don't think you even have to be a subscriber to see everybody's picks. I could be mistaken about that. So check that out again. Everybody collectively went 9-1 on those picks last night. Money Moves is coming up at the top of the hour with Stormy Bonatoni, of course. Matt Brown joining her today. And Matt has been kind enough to join us here early to give his NFL draft thoughts on a draft, sir. By the way, hello. How are you?
I'm well, and yourself?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Looking great.
Feeling good, too. Thank you. Yeah. Okay, so the broader consensus here, I was just talking to Drew. We feel like, and I'll speak for both of us, we feel like, okay, maybe we know the first four picks. And then after that, I'm not sure if I know anything. Mm-hmm. Do you feel similarly, or you have some solidified thoughts?
I'm a little less confident than you guys. I think I know the first three picks, and I think it's Patriots might be open for business at four.
Oh.
It's kind of where I think the draft really begins and could get wonky because, again, how much do they really like Campbell over Mimbu or Banks or whatever, you know, or something like that,
right,
where, hey, someone comes to them and says, like, hey, we'll give you this, and, you know, you get to pick up an extra fourth or something or whatever. That I think that is one of the interesting things about the draft for me, Gil, where I think I'm maybe on the other side of what a lot of people think, which is I actually think there might be a lot of movement in this draft because people are going, well, there's not going to be many trades because there's none of these players that everyone just needs and wants so incredibly badly. But if that's the case, would we think then maybe it doesn't cost very much to move around? And so let's just say it's more of a, I'm sitting at 14 or I'm sitting at 17 and like, I just want to move up to 14, you know, whatever, cost me a fifth, you know, or whatever it might be. I think there might be some movement here because I don't think it's going to be very expensive to maybe hop a couple of picks and get to where you need to be.
And if that's the case, God help us all.
Well, because last year, it's why we all lost money last year, was
right,
because the Penix pick just threw the draft on its head and then it was game over.
Let us
that.
Never forget.
Yeah. Yeah. They
right.
walk up there, they take Michael Penix, and I'm like, well, yeah, I'm losing money this
yeah.
year. Like, I mean, for sure, you know?
Okay. Where do you stand? I'll sort of, you know, mm-hmm. go to the go-tos here. Where do you stand on Ashton Jeanty? If I said to you right now, okay, he gets drafted by whom and where, you would say,
I would still say the Raiders, but I think he's in play at four and in play at five, where
wow, 4-2.
Because everybody knows that if he makes it to the Raiders, he's very highly likely to go there. And it might be, again, one of these teams that just goes, okay, there is only a handful of players that we think are honestly plug and play all pro from day one dudes, right? Jeanty seems to be that, according to all of these.
According to everybody,
yeah.
But like, I love Ashton Jeanty.
Yeah.
As a college running back who played, oh, by the way, in the Mountain West.
Yeah.
Are we making him out to be a generational player?
I know. I mean, to be mentioned in the same breath as Saquon Barkley, right, is.
And then he is already
yeah.
mentioning that
yeah.
himself. And look, again, we're not talent evaluators.
Yes.
Maybe I don't know what the heck I'm talking about.
Yeah,
but,
same with me.
But the Raiders, just forget the talent evaluation. Daniel Jeremiah made this point. Okay, the Lions drafting Jahmyr Gibbs made sense because the Lions had everything else in place.
Mm-hmm.
The Raiders don't.
No.
So they're going to draft him?
The Raiders don't, except for the head coach, who we know loves running backs.
Loves running backs.
Loves running
yes.
backs. Loves turning
True.
Around and handing the ball off. And, like, I think it's a program fit more than anything to me right now. I thought it was crazy, too, when everybody was coming out and just like, oh, Jeanty 6. And then you look at it and you're like, well, Pete Carroll. I mean, like that is what Pete Carroll loves. Pete Carroll loves running backs, and Pete Carroll loves to run the ball.
Does he love him at six?
I know.
Yeah.
I know.
All right, what about Shadur? No idea.
Shadur is the craziest thing in the world to me. So I have a decent position on him now, I think, because I have him to go exactly 2, and then I have over 3.5, which we know that's moved to 8.5 now at this
yeah.
point. So I've got a pretty good position on
Shadur. Remember that? Over 3.5 used to be
yeah.
there. Yeah.
Yeah. It was because the math to me was he's definitely not going 1. I can't imagine the Giants had brought in Jameis and Russ Wilson to take him at 3. So I'm like, okay, he either goes exactly 2 or he goes over 3, you know, and so I've got a decent position on him. But I mean, if they walk to the podium, even though we think we know exactly where 2 is going to go, and the Browns say Shadur, I'm not going to be floored. They need a quarterback. Their quarterback situation is terrible. You can't just assume you're going to be back at the top of the draft next year. So it wouldn't, like, blow me away if they did it, but it seems very unlikely at this point. And from everything that I hear from down in New Orleans, like, the Saints are not, like, jumping up and down about Shadur.
No,
if anything,
clearly.
They, like, Dart better.
Yeah.
And so
I kind of like Dart better, too.
Yeah. And so now we're looking at, okay, he slips there. Next logical spot, Pittsburgh, all the way down at 21. I mean, that's kind of what we're looking at.
I wonder if there's a team that's just got their mouths shut right now.
Yeah.
That's just like, we're getting a quarterback. We're just not telling anybody.
You know, it's a very unpopular opinion amongst the talent evaluators, but me sitting behind this desk and just spouting off Gil is, yeah, I'm kind of like, if you need a quarterback, you should probably just take a quarterback. And I hope that you hit on one that, yeah, that everybody isn't necessarily like, think. I was not high on Bo Nix.
I was not either.
Bo Nix did. I mean, you know, so
Bo Nix is awesome.
Yeah. So you go in and like, yeah, you take a dude and you hope you hit, because, yeah, as you've said it a million times, that's how it's, you cannot win the NFL without a quarterback, and you almost can't win without a cheap one early on, so you can, right, build around him, and then when you end up having to pay him, at least the pieces are there.
Okay, so if someone came to you right now, a, mm-hmm, little more than 48 hours before the draft, and they said, all right, give me a bet right now that's available that you feel the most confident. I asked this of Andy Molitor yesterday. Mm-hmm. He said over 14.5 SEC players in the first round, which is hilarious, by the way, right? Yeah. One conference, yeah, to get basically half the picks in the first round. But he said that that's the most confident he's in. What about for you?
So for me, just from a pricing standpoint, this goes back to our epic draft from 3 years ago, oh, right? Yeah. Where you've got a coin flip situation. We had a coin flip situation. For those that weren't with us, right? We had a coin,
that's
flip,
right,
situation in which we're looking at two corners that could go at the top of the draft that basically heading into the season, you had one guy that was favored. You have another guy that had a better season. And so, you know, everyone's like, oh, it's definitely Sauce Gardner. It's right there. It's Sauce Gardner, Sauce Gardner, Sauce Gardner, Sauce Gardner. Well, we're like, yeah, I don't know about all that. And then we end up getting 7-1, and I'm sitting here looking at this, these two tight ends. It's kind of like pick your poison, right? I mean, like Loveland does a little bit more in from a blocking standpoint and something. So like, could he just be the flavor that a team likes a little bit better than Warren? And so if that's the case, you're getting like 5-1 on him to be the first tight end. I really like, I think one in, you know, a little more than one in five times, some team goes, you know, I just kind of like his skill set a little bit better. It's not necessarily that I don't like this guy. It's, right, just I kind of like this guy a little bit better.
I think you hit on a broader point, though, whether it's that one, right, which, mm, is a good call. Loveland, Warren, who knows who goes first. 5-1, maybe you just, yeah, take a flyer. I think that's generally how I would approach this draft, which is take ridiculous shots.
Yes.
Because, yes, that's because in a draft where you don't know much, that's the way to play it. Whether that's positional, the way that I played it. Hey, New Orleans did the Luke Swain thing. New Orleans drafted a defensive, yeah, lineman first, 7-1. Yeah. Sure, if that hits, that's my draft.
Right, right. I think that because if it does play out, like I say, and I think that it will be a little bit easier to move around and it's not so expensive to move around, then that strategy you just mentioned is the only strategy, right? Because, right, it's going to be someone going, well, we thought we were going to be drafting here, and this is who we were looking at, but we can move up four spots and get this guy that is position XYZ that we didn't think was going to be there. Getting, like you said, so now, you know, you start to look at these positional things where I think the position to be drafted by is a market that we can still bet like up to right now and take some, yep, of these long shots, right? Like you said, like you go in and it's like, if everybody thinks they're taking an offensive lineman or everybody thinks they're taking defensive lineman, could they take a wide receiver? Is there a world that exists that they take a wide receiver or take a corner or whatever? I think that's the way to go about it.
Especially if they want an offensive lineman, but then there's a run on them, which, yeah, they can't anticipate. And then it's like, well, I guess we're not taking the third, yeah, or fourth best offense. I think that's a big brain toggle. So, again, 3-4 years ago, we would kill the draft, yeah, right? 8-1, 12-0, whatever it was. That draft where Stingley went third, mm, to Houston was sort of, that ought to have been the toggle where it's like, okay, the only reason we won that draft is because that happened. It wasn't like the run out, yeah, ATM like before. And now these last couple of years, it's just, yeah, much more difficult.
Yeah. If we get a Pennix situation again,
yeah,
on Thursday night, I will lose money yet again, right? If some team walks up there and just goes absolutely bonkers off the board, well, I'll lose money again.
All right, Matt is sticking around for Stormy, of course. Actually, that's his real gig here. He was just kind enough to join us on the last segment of A Numbers Game. Thank you, Matt. I appreciate,
absolutely,
it, sir. Stormy and Matt with Money Moves next. Again, the Beating the Book NFL Draft Pod live on the YouTube page at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. Check it out there. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.